You know, I think my air conditioner's about ready to conk out.
And I may spend the night over here. I should say, does this stay on all night?
It doesn't.
Well, I wouldn't want it to burn, but go all night, but I might have to make an adjustment.
Sure enough.
Okay. Things are getting mighty weak.
Is this thing off or on? Or
it's on.
I'm not speaking loud enough. I've had a birthday. And Gene Wade is not here tonight. He said something that, he's a mean man. I'm not going to tell you why, but he made a reference to my age. Going on 90. He didn't say I was 89. He said, he's going on 90. He jump starts everything, so. I've been, on these Wednesday evenings, picking up the 119th Psalm, and, I've reached the close of that. I'm gonna use the last 8 verses tonight because I've been looking at something else, and I think it's of real value. As you know, in the past, we've talked about having no definitive answers to prayer. There are people that say, I have prayed and prayed for years. I've never had a definitive answer to any prayer. Well, there must be a reason for that. I've had several good reasons advanced as to why that may happen. I thought about some myself. Unbelief sometimes will rob you of an answer. It can rob you of a lot of things because without faith, it is impossible to please God. I read some things on prayer. One of them was that it advances a suggestion on prayer that I have followed and found it to be true. I recommend it. When you pray, have an open Bible in front of you. I guarantee you, you'll never run out of something to pray. I guarantee it. You can't guarantee a lot of things, but I guarantee that. You will not run out of anything to pray for if you have an open Bible in front of you. And the writer that advanced that same thought used the Psalms. He said, the Psalms, made reference to the Psalms. He said that our usual approach to God's Word is to ask, what is God saying to me? But in the Psalms, the question is, how do I answer God? How do we respond to what He says in His Word? And that's what happened when you read the Word of God. The Word of God, as your eyes focus upon the Word and it goes into your mind, you begin to think about it, thoughts, the Spirit of God is actively engaged in making your thoughts turn to those things that that are of the Lord and things that would be proper and in order. People have been known to say this, I want it regardless. I want it regardless. What if it's not God's will? I want it. You know, the children of Israel, their hearts run after other things, and sometimes the Lord gave them what they asked for. You know what happens, don't you? He gave them what they asked for, but He sent leanness into their souls. You'll never get an answer to a prayer that prayer is contrary to the mind and the will of God. Don't forget that. That is so important. Weigh very carefully what you're praying for and how you're praying for it. If you catch yourself and you say, you know, I know for a fact that that's not the will of God. It's registered in my mind and heart what little I know from the Word of God. He doesn't approve of that. You know, God's not going to do anything that He doesn't approve of in that sense. We know that sin can block If anyone gives place to sin in his heart, God will not hear him. Those are things that should put us on guard and say, look, this matter of praying is something that we should approach with fear and trembling. Am I just saying words, and again, they're not in accord with the will of God? God's will hasn't got anything to do with it. It's me. I'm trying to satisfy myself. I think of what the psalmist says when he says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But any man that finds his delight in the Lord is not going to want things that God doesn't want for him. And I think in these psalms that I've been reading, and Psalm 119 that we've been looking at, it's just a solemn reminder of how important it is to read and have the Word of God constantly before you. You can tell, other people may tell sooner or later, but you can tell that you haven't been reading your Bible. You say, how are you so sure of that? Because the Spirit of God will remind you. Things will come up that will remind you, I haven't been reading my Bible. I heard someone ask someone today about reading your Bible. I'll be honest with you, the person said, I haven't been reading my Bible. Well, being honest about it is one thing, but it won't do you any good unless you correct that and read the Word of God. I'm going to read these last 8 verses, as you know. 176 verses, every one of them, with the exception of one verse, 122, makes a reference to the Word of God. And to me, it is a very interesting study in itself as you read this. F.W. Grant is the one that wrote the numerical Bible, and of course, all of Scripture has numerical structure. I have no question or doubt about that. I am not familiar, and I am not as smart as Mr. Grant in making all of these determinations based upon numerical structure. But if you know anything about that and you've pursued it, you will readily agree there is real value in knowing the numerical structure of Scripture. And if you'd like to have his books, you can get them, and you can study the Scripture along that line. Although we're not talking about studying the Scriptures as such now, again, we're talking about having God having spoken to us, and how do we respond in speaking to God? How do we pray? How do we pray? Let's read these 8 verses. Beginning at 169, Psalm 119. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, and give me understanding according to thy word. This jumps right in on what I've been talking about. I want true discernment about what the word of God says, so that I will not err in my judgment when I begin to talk to God. It's like a child coming to his parents, making a request, talking about something that he knows full well his parent doesn't approve of it, but he keeps asking. That's foolish. And of course, you know he's not going to get very far. And neither are we going to get very far with God in our prayer life if we keep asking things and wanting to take a course of action in our lives that is not according to his will and according to his word. God's will for our lives is that we glorify him. And you can't go contrary to the word of God and glorify God in your life. It just won't work. It's just not found in scriptures. That word, understanding, give me understanding according to thy word. It's a word. That's why we put so much emphasis upon. Read the word of God. Please, read it and study it. Store it away in your mind, in your heart,
Have it ready. Not that you want to impress someone with how much scripture you know. Scripturality is not spirituality. Letting the Spirit of God fill you and produce fruit in your life is what spirituality is all about. Let the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us so lead and control us that indeed we stay right in the center of God's will. So here we have that discernment and understanding of the Word of God. Stands us in good stead when we're closeted with the Lord and we begin to pray. The Spirit of God might sometimes stop us, bring it to our attention sharply. That's not the mind of God. That's not the will of God. You're being motivated by the world, the flesh, and the devil, perhaps. And someone may say, I'm letting my heart guide me. Well, if you are, you are on a course of destruction. The heart is evil. So deceptive. Don't let your heart be your guide, your conscience be your guide. Let the Word of God be your guide. Let the Spirit of God take control. And that discernment that you need in obedience to what God has said in His Word, you'll be rewarded. I will be rewarded. And beloved, it's worth it. Believe me, it's worth it to have that peace in your soul. To know I looked at it very carefully. I looked at it with discernment. I checked everything that came to mind that I thought in Scripture would not permit me to take this course of action. And I found out there were some things there that I would have to say that I am perhaps, I'm on ground that God wouldn't approve of, and so I won't do it. And I won't ask for it. I won't ask for it. The second verse says, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Again, here we have before us the very fact that if I consider all the things that can happen in the course of life, and we do have to give some consideration to what that affliction might be. We consider affliction, and I'm asking the Lord, you know exactly what my problems are. It may be physical problems, it may be spiritual problems, it may be a whole lot of problems in my life. No one knows about my problems in life any better than the Lord does. But what we do is we have a problem, and I call you up or you call me up. And I have to tell you, I don't know. And you have to tell me, I really don't know. You'll do that if you're perhaps thinking that maybe I don't have the answer and I'm not going to give out with something that's foolish that will lead somebody astray. But when you call upon the Lord, when you take into account, I have brought my supplications before you. I want deliverance according to your word. Not what I want. Not what I think. I thought that was right. It couldn't be supported by the Word of God. That was a foolish thing you did. That's what the psalmist is talking about. And this is what generates prayer. And it's something that can cause you to think very soberly about how you lead your life and how you make judgment calls on all the things that are happening to you in the course of a day's time. Just one day in our lives. I want deliverance, but I want it according to your word. The word of God. And that word, it is powerful. And you take the word of God and you lay it down beside that problem and you say, I want the word of God to be the final testing ground for whether I should take whatever action it is I'm going to take. Let that be the final word about this matter. My lips shall praise, utter praise, when thou hast taught me thy statutes. These are the enacted laws of God. I read, it's escaped my mind, about all of the laws that have been enacted by men. Think about every time, we have men that are gathering, in places in government, and it may be, down in Raleigh or up in Washington or someplace, and, they discuss and sometimes they vote on and enact laws. There are literally thousands of them. Hundreds of thousands of laws, rules, and regulations. And they may not be divinely wrought either. They may not be. We are told to obey those that are in authority over us, and we're supposed to be law-abiding citizens, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you or I comply with everything and every law, especially if it would be an infringement upon our faith and would say that we can't do certain things. That would come to a point that we would have to say, I don't abide by that, because it's contrary to the Word of God. These enacted laws that we're reading here this evening, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. What you have taught me, Lord, by the Spirit of God, I have profited from it. I'm a wiser person than I ever was before. I was a foolish person before I was brought in contact with divine authority. Divine authority. Those enacted laws that God has laid it down. The people of God. The children of Israel. Man, when those Ten Commandments were handed down, they had something to go by. It was no more shooting in the dark. They knew those ten holy laws told them that there were things that they were not supposed to do. It was clearly announced that do these things and you are out of the will of God, you have sinned, and you are worthy of death. The wages of sin is death. We can be thankful today that God can look at us, and sometimes we can be so disobedient. Go so far astray, and yet he patiently, lovingly, would nourish us and convict us and bring us back. And we'll see that in just a moment as we close this whole section together. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. And we said this so often, and I know you have read it. God never acts independent of his righteousness. You've heard that. And it's absolutely true, beloved. God cannot sin. He does not sin. Isn't there something that is constantly brought before us? The one who knew no sin, the Son of God. He was made sin for us. Oh, that's so unlike anything that's human. The one that did not deserve what he got, that's what he took. And he did it in fulfillment of God the Father's divine will. How important. Oh, let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. That which you direct to be done, that's what I want to be done. The hand of God. I have committed myself into the hands of him that does righteousness. You know, some people say, I'd rather be on the winning side than anything else. Well, when you're on God's side and you're obedient to the divine will, you are a winner. You are a true winner. There's victory. Not only in this life. Yes, in this life. You say, I'm waiting until that day when there'll be perfect victory. Well, there can be victory now.
if we're just willing to pay the price. It does come with a price, doesn't it? You know it does. Sometimes there has to be a denial of things that are so appealing. They're so appealing. And sometimes you'll find yourself in a very lonely position because you've chosen to take God's way. And it isolates you and puts you sometimes outside the realm of fellowship, even among God's people. Because you dared to be a Daniel, and you dared to walk pleasing to the Lord. These last four verses, it sounds like a plea for deliverance, and certainly this could be applied to the nation of Israel, the times of so many distressing things that they brought upon themselves because of their disobedience, because they refused to do what we're talking about tonight. They began to walk afar. They went contrary to the mind and the will of God. Oh, what a price they paid. Oh, what a price they paid. Read through the Word of God. Oh, what horrible, horrible. All those years down in Babylon, all those years that were spent at the mercy of all of their enemies, he used even their enemies to sometimes punish and to take steps that would remind them and remind them in a very real way. It does not pay to disobey God. You always lose. You always lose. It can't be any other way. Because God's authority is absolute. And that's the way it should be. This closes down at the end of this section. Psalm 176. That's that last verse. This is authority from the throne of God. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. This is the psalmist crying out now. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandment. Well, I thought about Isaiah 53, verse 6 right away. You're going to think we'll ever get so old that we would dare say, I would never go astray. I would. I'm not going to say it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have everyone turned to our own way. We don't know when we might turn to our way. Our way. There again, something contrary to the Word of God. And we do it. We think we do it with impunity, but we don't. We pay a price. I did it my way. Didn't the old Frank sing a song, something like that? I did it my way or something. Yeah, well, you do it your way. Let me do it my way. We pay a price for it. And as long as we live here on the face of the earth, beloved, there's always just that possibility that in a moment of weakness, oh, those moments of weakness, that our minds begin to wander. And the Word of God, somehow or another, is not clear in our minds because we haven't been reading it and we have forgotten. And we go astray like sheep. Thank God. We were reminded there Sunday night. I asked Earl a question. I'm pretty old, Earl. What if I sin and something happens and I go home, I hope, before I leave you? Would I have time? Would God take that into account? He said it wouldn't matter. You're a child of God. You'll go home an erring child because I'm safe and secure in Christ. But let's don't use that and say, regardless of how I live my life, the Apostle Paul said, someone would suggest, let's go on sinning. In so doing, it just adds glory to God because he will forgive us. Oh, no. God's people are to be a clean, sanctified people. Set apart for the glory of God. Yes, we may go astray before we go home, but thank God he always comes after us.
And the one thing that I could guarantee you would be the greatest deterrent to any one of us not going astray would be to know and obey the Word of God. I can guarantee that. So tonight, let's think about the Word of God. Remember what I said? If you've never tried, if you've never taken your Bible and opened it up, you say, suppose I don't open it up at the book of whatever book you're thinking about. That's the one that I would think about. The Psalms, maybe, Proverbs, Jeremiah, whatever. You open it up and you start praying and you see if you run out of anything to pray for. If you don't see anything on that page, don't be afraid to turn the page. It may be on the next page. So now we'll have a seat.